Board it, or what do you want to do?
I'll just go ahead and start this thing unless you have any questions.
No.
All right. Let's do this then.
All right.
Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast, where we talk about all things service industry related and whatever else I feel like talking about. If you haven't yet, please go watch my television series, Beyond the Check Worker Earner Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Fox's Tubi TV. I go hang out with some awesome chef owners, find out about their lives, the history of the restaurant, and of course, cook up and try some of the best dishes they have to offer. Yeah, fun times. I have a fantastic guest today. We're gonna get coached a little or something like that. We're gonna learn a lot about some health and try to be healthier. Coming to us from the sunny state of California, Jennifer Helene Popkin.
Yeah, Popkin.
Popkin. That's so fun. It's just fun to say.
Like popcorn or Popkins.
Like, did your grandparents? did your grandparents ever just call you Little Popkin when you were a kid?
No, it's actually my married name. I haven't changed it back though after the divorce, but I will. Yeah. My daughter will be 18 very soon, so I'll have like eligibility to do that soon.
Touche. Well, I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, we're both from California.
I'm from Virginia.
There? Yeah, that's right. You're from Virginia.
I'm from Virginia, outside of Washington D.C., and I come from a family of foodies. And oh my gosh, at breakfast we were talking about dinner, and everything revolved around food for both mom and dad, and they were both like gourmet chefs. So like the standard of food in our kitchen was just very high, and we always had home cooked meals and went to the farmers markets, and that was just a source of joy, celebration, connection, and everything. But we also had like obesity, you know, blindness, diabetes, you know, people died, you know, it was like food could heal and food could harm. And that was really clear to me early on.
I mean, I'm from Ohio, like most of my life. Right. And so I have a lot of cousins and around Ohio, and yeah, obesity, heart disease, like just, and it seems like it's definitely money driven and financially. I can look across my family, right? And I can see who's healthier and who's not healthier. And it's almost financial on who is healthier and not healthier.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a lot cheaper to buy a box of pasta than it is a head of broccoli, and the food's going to go further. It is tricky. And unless you're growing your own food, it's hard to be able to afford and prioritize vegetables, which we know prevent disease. So it's really tricky. But it's something that we all have to take responsibility to solve, and I think it's as a community, you know, community gardens, gardens in cities and things like that. And when I lived in Baltimore for a little bit, we were working with the city to establish gardens, because that's the only solution that I see that's long-term and also meaningful. But I know we're not here necessarily to solve these problems per se, but after I grew up in Washington, D.C., the suburbs, I went to New York City, and then I moved to Europe. So I lived in Europe for 10 years, which was really interesting. And I just have always been fascinated on how food can heal. And I learned from my grandmother's. Yeah, it is. It is. And it's just so delicious. It can be so delicious. Most people don't think healthy food is delicious, but I disagree completely.
It is. When you eat healthier, you feel better all around. And you don't really know the difference until you know the difference, right?
Right?
So when you're raised on healthy foods, all of a sudden, it's hard for anybody in this generation to have not had McDonald's at some point, you know, whether it was a grandparent.
I love McDonald's.
Or, you know, somebody's taking you to McDonald's, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're raised completely without that, and then one day as an older, you know, person, you try McDonald's in your late teens or in your 20s, and you're like, whoa, that doesn't seem like food.
I mean, I spent a lot of time at McDonald's growing up. I think it was just part of my generation. I'm dating myself now, but yeah, right. You don't know until you know. And oftentimes it's some kind of health challenge that brings you into the knowing. So if you're smart, you're going to go in the prevention model. You know, if you get smarter later, it's fine as long as you get smart sometime, because our bodies are so resilient. I ended up getting a bachelor's and a master's degree in nutrition, studying food as medicine internationally. I was a master chef, and I just educate So basically, I build programs to educate people on how to make healthy food taste great and other lifestyle practices that go beyond nutrition. Because nutrition will get you so far. And then you really do have to exercise. But you can't outrun your fork. I've tried it, folks. It doesn't work. I mean, it kind of works, but it makes you, you know, injured. And then, you know, you got to have the mindset piece. Because even if you're eating kale all day and you're feeling guilty about it, or you're, I don't know, obsessing about something else, that's also not going to work. So you got to really have that, the trinity, those three things together to really get, you know, good health outcomes.
So do you get a cheat day?
Oh, yeah. Totally. My cheat days are like more like Rishi raw vegan ice cream, you know, it's like that'll be it, but it's like not like Breyers, you know, or Haagen-Dazs. It's like something real, like a $12 pint of ice cream. That's like, just like, oh, like adaptogenic goodness.
It's not Haagen-Dazs, huh?
No. Or like, from time to time, I perfected this buckwheat flax pizza crust. I know, it's absolutely stunning. You wouldn't believe it. It's pliable. It's puffy. It's crispy. It's like all the things you want from a good pizza crust, but it's made with buckwheat. Who knew? So
I mean, we had buckwheat pancakes a lot when I was a kid.
Right.
Right. And I remember them just being, they were healthier than my grandfather's pancakes. But they were very filling and like hearty and like, yeah. You know, you could taste the earth, if you will.
Yeah, in a way you could, because the toasted buckwheat, which we used to use for those pancakes, definitely has a little bit of that earthier texture, and because it's a little bit black too. Right. But I just, you can sprout them. It's not even a grain. So you can sprout buckwheat. You can make milk out of buckwheat. You can make granola with buckwheat. You can make, you'd cook rice. You can make buckwheat. It's fantastic,
you know,
in spring with a medley of peas.
I think that's the most times I've heard the word buckwheat in probably a decade.
Oh, it's so good. So that's like
you just don't hear it that often anymore. Like, you know, like good old fashioned buckwheat pancakes. You know, good old fashioned. You know, buckwheat. What used to be a thing? I think it was cheaper than flour.
Oh right,
back in the day, right? And so that's why.
Yeah,
that was the thing. But it was also healthier, which explains our great grandparents living longer.
Yeah, well, they lived from the farm, I think, you know. I really do think they lived on the farm, from the farm, and just whole foods. You know, we can debate a lot of stuff food related, but like no one's going to debate like eating from your garden is a good idea.
Right?
There's just, yeah, eat vegetables, more vegetables, and you'll have better health outcomes. It is actually that simple.
And it's good for you just to like grow things, even if you like, I have a brown thumb. I'm terrible. My mother's an herbalist. My dad was a fantastic farmer, but I can't. I we kill the house plants on a regular basis. Like people give them to us, and just, water the plant. Water the plant. I have dogs. I keep them alive. They're fine.
Right,
but they remind me that I need to keep them alive.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. Hey, Dad, I'm hungry.
The plant's just hanging out over there in the corner.
Yeah, that's a good point. Although I do have to say, I get really excited. Like right now, I'm collecting borage flowers from my borage plant, and the passion fruit are on the vine.
You have passion fruit on the vine?
Yeah, I've had my first passion fruit from my own passion fruit vine a couple of days ago. It was really exciting. And so when the food is bearing fruit, your plants, sometimes it's more motivating because you're like, I want that squash. Or you're like, I really think that habanero pepper is going to be kick-ass. So
you start salivating weeks in advance.
Months, yeah. Artichokes. I have like 12 artichoke plants. They're like so robust. And I know like in about a month, I'm going to have like 50 artichokes. I'm so excited.
Whatever are you going to do with them?
Eat them. Artichoke parties. Artichoke hearts. Artichoke soup. Artichoke. I mean like, oh my gosh. We just brainstorm. I could talk artichokes the whole time.
So many things to do with the artichokes. I first ate artichokes, the leaves. Like I was, as a child, yep. I wasn't introduced to the hearts first. I was introduced to the leaves, right? Where you would like, you steam it, you know, you don't boil it, you steam it. And then you don't eat the whole leaf, but there's just that little bit of goodness at the tip of where you just you dip it in like some butter, or I think we used to put it in mayonnaise.
Right, sure. No, that's the thing. Yeah. You could be, go ahead.
And then you just bit it with your teeth and pulled off the little bits of art. It's kind of like the honeysuckle.
Totally, yeah. I forgot about honeysuckle, right?
But the artichoke, the honeysuckle of the artichoke.
Totally. Yeah, it's really good for your liver. It helps you to have stronger resilience, you know, like it helps to clean your blood. It helps you to fortify all of your systems because of what it does for your liver. So artichokes are great. Even if you can just get them in the can or the jar, just, you know, eat artichokes. You can make a sauce with capers for your pasta. You could, I don't know. There's so many ways to
do you ever use the leaves?
No. I mean, yeah. If I get a baby one, I will roast the whole thing and you can eat the whole thing. But you got to get it like before it toughens, because it's just too fibrous. It's just, and then you kind of get abdominal upset because of all that insoluble fiber. but I make a great cream soup with it as well. Super simple. You know, you just saute a leek, add some thyme or whatever herbs you have, and then add the artichoke hearts and then blend it with some stock. It's like ridiculously delicious. And if you want to get really fancy, you could put some like fennel pollen on top.
Oh. Just a dash.
It just makes everything kind of fancy.
Just a little fennel. So whatever led you to this path of life?
I think that it was really my mom. So I grew up like Weight Watchers meetings at age 5. I was definitely obese. My nickname was Fatso.
No.
And
kids, so the ostracism. Kids are terrible.
Kids are so mean. I got an N, you know, for needs improvement in kindergarten because I just would like stand up, like, don't call me that. You know? My mom then went to Overeaters Anonymous. And so I spent my childhood kind of with the backdrop of the 12-step program and food as, you know, food compulsion. As you know, the context. And so it was pretty intense to grow up in that environment, I have to say. And I wasn't willing to sacrifice like joy, delight, and celebration for health. I didn't think that those two things had to go hand in hand. And so I think I really learned all this from my mom. But she died. She died at 59 with one of her causes of death is severe obesity. So she was like up and down hundreds of pounds her whole life. And my whole life. And so I wanted to perfect this food thing because I was like, I want my mom to still love life because she would get depressed. Like when I had COVID, like the worst part of it was when I lost my smell and my taste. Like that was like the worst symptom.
So
like
fever, weird, right? Okay. So yeah, weird.
I was like, all the other stuff that was bad about it, but like that was the worst, you know, because I love food. Like she loved food. And when she had to be healthy or lose weight, she was like depressed. You know, and it was just rough. And so I think it was for her, honestly. And then, of course, now it's for me. And then since I couldn't help her because she died about 17 years ago, now it's for the world. And so I am on a mission to help people become better home chefs because home, you know, cooking at home will definitely make you healthier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, less packaged food. Packaged food, people are buying, you know, it's on the rise. I can get pretty much anything delivered to my doorstep from pre-rolled, you know, joints to gourmet meals.
Yeah, you're in California. You can have whatever you want.
You can order from Amazon this morning, get it delivered like
a bottle of tequila to boot.
Dude, I can get anything. But like just so like prepared foods is so alluring. Get it. It's easy. It's convenient. But my goodness. Like,
and food's not that hard to cook and it doesn't take that long.
No, it doesn't. But we all have to be hyper-vigilant about what we're putting in our bodies. Because when you're ordering in a restaurant, you can almost be guaranteed it's not organic, which means it's most likely genetically modified, that there's most likely herbicides, fungicides, and pesticides that have been used, that it's, you know, most likely not been grazed in soil, grown in soil that has like a good strong microbiome, which is going to impact your immune system and immune response. It's most likely been cooked with canola oil, which is most certainly genetically modified, with salt that's actually really bad for you. So like all those factors, I eat out from time to time, but I'm very selective about where I go. And I talk to the chefs to know, like, what are you using? And listen, it's expensive. So when I go out, it's going to be expensive.
But when you go out, it's supposed to be expensive, right? You're not supposed to go out, you know, to Applebee's on the date night.
My daughter would go out every night of the week. It's like, whatever, because if I'm not cooking for her, she's like,
A couple nights a week.
This. Every night of the week she'd go out. Because like, I ask her, what do you want for dinner? She's like, something that will blow my mind, Mom. Like, no pressure.
No pressure. But it better be mind-blowing.
Right? Yeah. So
or I'm going to Applebee's.
So. Yeah, there isn't an Applebee's around here. There really isn't even a McDonald's or a Starbucks. But there's a Michelin star restaurant down the street that we will go to. Sorry about that. For her, whatever, birthday or graduation or something.
Yeah, I pretty much, except for the barbecue restaurants, we were in Texas for season 3. And we went to, most of them were farm-to-table restaurants, like the first thing I find, because most just independent chef-owned restaurants are the farm-to-table ones. So we went to one place called Ronin, where they actually had the farm first, and then they opened the restaurant second. And so 90% of everything at the restaurant comes from the farm, except for the fish. They have to drive to Houston to pick up every Monday. But everything else... Okay. Comes from the farm.
Oh, nice. I love that. You know, I was like noticing the borage flowers this week, like they have these little hairs all over them. And so do zucchini. And so does squash.
Oh, yeah.
And so does.
Yeah.
When you go to the grocery store, the hairs are not.
Yeah, there's
on
no
the
hairs.
Food.
You know, I've never thought about that.
And I'm like, I think that there's something to really eating from the farm or eating from the farmer's market. There's just something to the natural immunity of the plant that when we eat it, it helps us to also become stronger in our immune system. Another thing about plants is that they have phytonutrients. It might sound like a big word, but it's just the light from the sun that gets captured in the leaves and then goes into the vegetable or fruit as a nutrient. And when we consume a large amount and variety of phytonutrients, we're strengthening our immune system, we're strengthening our gut, our microbiome. And it's like, I'm not just saying this, there's like thousands of peer-reviewed papers on
this.
Oh,
I know.
And it's, decades of proof. And it's so exciting because it's like, it's that simple. Just find new ways to love vegetables.
Wants to accept it though. I mean, there's a huge battle for people's minds and their thinking when it comes to food, right? I mean, it's basically a war out there in reality of industries fighting to keep you, and there's no one's out there really fighting for the vegetable industry, right? They don't have lobbyists, right? Like there's
I'll be like the what do you call it? the like superhero of vegetables.
Like
call me Shazandra.
Shazandra.
It's actually a berry. Shazandra berry.
We're sending you to Capitol Hill.
I'm going to lobby for vegetables.
You're lobbying on behalf of the squash.
No one makes any money. That's why. Because you can't really patent nature. They're trying. But let's just take our power back into our own hands and take our homeland, the land you live on, whether it's an apartment or an actual property that's on earth, like take your power back, take your homeland back and take responsibility for your health, because the only one who's going to save you is you.
So what do we do with the people in the places that just don't have access, to fresh vegetables and, farm-raised animals, if that's how they need to go about it?
Yeah, I mean, you can order it.
Is it ordering it, right? It's getting it to your door.
You can order it. It's kind of exciting. You can order it in bulk, and you can even find sales and prices that are great. So you can order it. And also, you'd be surprised what you can grow in 1 square foot in your kitchen. So I built these programs for all these different institutes, organizations, and universities. So I have thousands of students in over 60 countries now. And some of them are like in small apartments in China or in Mexico City or wherever they are. or even here in the States. But it just shows, like, doesn't matter where, what race you are, where you live in the world, like, one square foot, you can actually grow enough food because you can grow microgreens in, like, in stages. You can even, if you have a window, you know, just indirect light, you can grow a ton of food in your own kitchen.
That's fascinating.
Not you, because you have a brown thumb, but most people.
If they try, maybe later in life, you know, maybe as, like, you know, a retired hobby, I'll give it a go again.
Maybe.
Right. Set the Insta down and pick up the watering can.
Yeah. I mean, it's worthwhile because it gives back, you know?
And, you know, it's just, it tastes better to the fruit of your labors, right?
Yeah. I mean, literally.
Literally. So you're are you thinking about your artichokes again right now? I feel like you are.
Actually, I was thinking about my peaches.
You have peaches blossoms. Too?
Yeah, there are blossoms on my peach tree, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have some peaches. It's very exciting.
How many?
And
then
my lemon tree. I've got, like,
my goodness, lady, where you do live in a little fantasy, fun little land. Are you, like, do you live in Candyland, but, like, the healthy version?
Right. Yeah. No, it's funny because, like, in apricot season, my neighbor's tree has literally grown over my fence. And, like, I just get showered. I'm like, literally, there are apricots falling from the sky right now. I get so excited.
My goodness, you do. The birds chirp and sing.
They do, actually. And I just want to go over and thank my neighbor. And just be like, thank you so much for having your tree grow on my property now.
You wake up.
I love them.
You walk out in the morning, pick a peach. Bambi walks up. You feed Bambi the peach.
Actually, the deer can't get in, which is good because they would eat everything.
They would. They would eat everything.
But I think my dog would like keep the deer out, actually.
Or they'd be friends. Deer and dogs have been known to hang out together.
Hmm. She gets very excited when she sees one. But I'm most excited about are the pineapple guavas. Those are planted behind me. They haven't quite matured to bear fruit, but I'm really excited about them.
Man.
Pineapple guava.
So imagine how often do you go to the grocery store? Or, I mean, you live in a, you're pretty temperate, so.
I go like every other day.
Every other day.
Probably every 3 days. Yeah. I go way too much. I have so much. It's like the abundance is beyond. So I go too often, but I do enjoy it. It's like, that's like Disneyland for me, going to the farmer's market and the grocery store.
My wife loves the grocery store as well.
Yeah, I know it's kind of silly, but I have a great grocery store. One of the top reasons I moved here.
It was for the grocery store?
Yeah. I've never been to a grocery store that fabulous anywhere on the planet. I've lived in Switzerland and Germany and France and Greece. I mean, like, in New York City, like this grocery store.
Whoa. What is the grocery store?
It's called the Good Earth.
The Good Earth. The Good Earth Market. Is it a market?
Yeah. It's a good earth. It's a good question. Is it the market? I don't know. Hmm. Just called the Good Earth.
It's just called the Good Earth.
Yes.
And they have plenty of items from the Good Earth itself.
Yes, indeed.
Good times. Listen,
there's nothing more important than your health. There just isn't.
So, are you vegan?
I am.
Sometimes?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, so I went to Wyoming a few, like, last year or the year before. COVID, like, kind of makes the time, like, blend together. It's like, oh, there's been 2 years have passed already.
Oh, yeah. Time flew. It is 2022. That's real life.
Wow.
Yeah. It went from 2019 to 2022. It was just.
Okay. So most people would be shocked to learn this about me, but I'll just say it because it's true. So I was in Wyoming at somebody's ranch and we were having dinner and one of the guys there had shot an elk and, he grilled it up and he served elk. And I tried it, you know, cause I was like, I've never had elk and this is interesting. So I feel like if I want to fish, I probably would eat the fish, or if I was hunting, I would eat what I hunted, but I don't like go to the grocery store and just buy salmon or, meat. That makes sense.
That does make sense.
I yeah. So like, if you wanted to hunt, you know, we could like gather and eat the venison. I'd be like all in, you know.
And like so, put me on Naked and Afraid. I'll make it happen. But.
but yeah, I do. I don't see the value in eating a lot of animal products just for health reasons, mostly for the gut. It kind of sludges up your gut, and then you get permeability issues. It gets sluggish, and then you just your mood is compromised, your energy is compromised.
I keep having this argument with people, and it's literally just that meat is a carcinogen.
Mm-hmm. It is that. That's true.
And people, and you'll get argued, well, no, it's not. It's just that the meat, that what we do to the meat makes it carcinogenic.
Well, that's also true. It's the Maillard effect when you caramelize it, like when you pan sear it. Like if you could eat raw meat.
That or just like the salt, you know, water being injected into the chicken or all the hormones and everything that's in.
Oh, well, that goes without saying. You know, if you're going to eat animal products, they have to be organic.
Right, but what I can't seem to get an answer to is if we were cavemen again and we just go and kill that bison in the field and we eat that, was that also carcinogenic, you know?
No, the body handles it. And that's a really good point. Like people would kill an animal and then they eat every part of the animal. And then it's not like they had like 16 animals they were eating. You know, it was just like that one animal because they didn't have a way to keep it cold so it wouldn't rot.
Right.
So it's just like
you would feast.
And then you have a break.
And then you would famine.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have a break and then you eat root vegetables because that's what you've got, you know? So I think it's about that. And you see the same thing, like if somebody has an allergen to a certain food family, and they introduce it, like so say buckwheat, like on Monday, and then they don't eat buckwheat again until Wednesday or Thursday. You know, so you introduce food families, and the body actually is extremely helpful for the body to manage allergens, common allergens such as soy and dairy and eggs and things like that.
And by moderation.
It's moderation, yes, but it's more than that. It can't be daily. The body will clear the toxicity of it. And it just have to give the body the space and time it needs to do that. And most people in America, especially, will just load it on, keep loading it on, large portions, frequency, and they don't give the body the break it needs.
Got milk. People had diarrhea for decades and just couldn't figure out why.
So bad.
So true. Like, well, I don't know. Oh, milkman's here. Guzzle it down.
We actually had a milkman.
We had
a milkman. He came every Wednesday.
God.
Farmer Lee. Yeah.
You know what? We did have a milkman when I was real little, like probably like two. I think that was like the last time.
Yeah, and they weren't chicken.
And it wasn't in like the glass jars either. It was like later.
I can't remember.
I think it wasn't plastic jugs.
I don't remember, wow. But he brought fresh apples and chickens and milk. Mm.
We had gardens. My mom had gardens and gardens and gardens, and we used to eat the corn right off the cob, you know, and the snap pea right off the vine. You know, one of the best things ever.
Oh, so good. Aren't they beautiful, the peas, when they grow, too?
Oh, yeah. And it all just smells so fresh and just the smell of walking through, like, a garden. And you get to do this every day? I am so jealous right now.
Come on over and visit. There's so much to do. It's like, this is going to be 70 today. It's sunny. I went to the beach yesterday. It was amazing.
I have those things. I do have those things. Springtime's coming, so actually I can go outside and smell the honeysuckle and everything blooming in Savannah. That's what covers up the paper mill.
Right. So you got your own magic right there out your window.
Yeah,
maybe even
yeah.
in your mom's garden. Still.
A good breeze comes though. That paper mill's coming through.
Signature Savannah.
It's beautiful, but it smells like shit.
It is. It is beautiful. Yeah. Every year we used to go through Savannah over spring break, so this time of year I'm familiar with, actually.
It's a good spring break place. A lot of bachelorettes, a lot of bachelorette parties.
Really? Yeah, I guess so.
You can drink in the streets, or it was one of the very few places you could drink in the streets.
So, okay, yeah. That's why. Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day is coming. That's out of control. Just hide from the sea of green.
Sea of green. So are you a vegan?
No, I try to eat less meat and less meat. Like maybe we eat 2 meat dinners a week.
Well, that's really reasonable for your body.
Or I just try to just unconsciously not make meat, just make something that doesn't have it, just like because, right? And just get into that mindset of not looking for it or needing it or making it the hero of the night, you know?
Yeah.
And so you get so tired of eating. But my problem was I was just sick of it. I've always known it's bad for you. I don't like killing the animals. Yeah. You know, like, you don't, none of it's good.
Right.
I mean, except for when you're eating it, which is the unfortunate part.
That's funny.
Anything that's delicious is, like, overly delicious is going to be bad for you. That's just the way
to work. I don't know.
I mean, overtly delicious, you know, sugar, overtly delicious, all that, because we're bombed with all these flavors, and that's why it's hard for us to go backwards, right? Because everything that are fed or that is out in the world has retarded amounts of just fat and sugar, and, you know, and our bodies are just like addicted to that, you know? And so when you try to downgrade, it's difficult.
All change is challenging, and you're right, but your taste buds do adjust. It only takes about 7 days and your taste buds change. And then all of a sudden sugary food tastes like it's burning you and makes you sick. And then food.
Like, how did I eat this whole Snickers?
Yeah. So you do change, your physiology changes. I can guarantee it. But what if I were to tell you that instead of using salt, you could use kelp, cayenne, and lemon and get a similar brightening of the flavors? There are all these hacks.
Have you ever heard of spike?
Yeah, of course. But it's sort of very high salt.
it is a little salty. That was the jam in my household. Growing up was totally. Spike. Salt and pepper was not on the table. It was just spike.
Yeah, my mom loved spike seasoning. I can see the logo brightly in my mind right now.
Yeah, right. That red container, moon, yellow, red. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I looked it up. Exactly. I looked it up not too long ago, and its full name is literally spike. That's it. It's just called spike.
Love it. So I have the most ridiculous spice cabinet. Like, it's so overflowing. Like, I need like 3 cabinets the same size because I just collect spices. Like, some people collect, I don't know, clothing. I collect spices and, you know, exotic flavors.
It's not like they're going to go bad.
Right? I don't know. I think they do. They definitely lose their potency.
Yeah. What do you keep them in?
Glass containers. Or jars. Certain things I have in bulk, like nutmeg and cinnamon.
In the cupboard, away from the light.
Yes, totally.
No.
That cupboard stays open, though, a lot. Because I use it all the time. Yeah.
Just trying to find which one you're looking for.
Yes, I'm like, where is it?
I know it's in here somewhere. I've seen it. Turns out it was on the counter the whole time. So you used it the other night and didn't put it away.
Some things I just can never keep in stock. Like this one curry I love. I just keep using it and using it and using it. So
I love a good curry.
Yeah, me too.
Did you mix it yourself?
No, it's actually called Vandovan. Vandovan curry. I didn't mix it myself, although sometimes I do mix them myself. But I made this phenomenal coconut curry the other night for some guests, and it was just over the top. So good.
Mm.
So good. I've been really into coconut cream these days. I'm like, screw the coconut milk. Or leave the coconut milk light. I'm like, I'm going for the cream. And it's just like, wow, what a difference.
what veggies did you put in your curry?
I did a combination of kombucha squash. That's like the green skin with the bright orange inside. Cabbage and I think I had some broccolini, but just the squash would have been perfect. It didn't need anything else.
Squash, curry, and rice?
Yeah, I made some jasmine rice. I had quinoa as well. Some people just didn't have any grain. They just had it, you know, just pure because it was just really good.
Mm. Now I want to go have curry for dinner.
You should have curry for dinner. It's so worth it. I just steamed the vegetables. Normally I'd pan sear them, but this curry was so bright and so complex and its flavors. I went ahead and just steamed them. So
what are you making for dinner tonight?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't thought about it. I'm still at lunch. I haven't had lunch yet. I was going to have a really big salad for lunch. I made this beautiful winter lettuce mix with dandelion and red butter leaf and romaine and pea shoot sprouts and sunflower seed sprouts. Usually I'll do radicchio and endive, but I didn't do that this time.
Do you do anything to the dandelion before? Or
I don't.
No?
I just go raw.
You like that bite, huh?
I don't, but when I mix it with the sweeter lettuces, it actually kind of doesn't, you don't notice it as much.
Bounces
Although
out.
I did make a straight dandelion salad last week with vanilla, sun-dried vanilla.
What?
With some red onions and red, well, not really purple onions, but purple onions and red peppers and vanilla and hazelnuts. It was like over the top. So delicious.
Salty, sweet, bitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything.
Totally. Yeah, put Meyer lemon juice on top and a little bit of olive oil. It's just like, superb.
Spot on. Spot on. I made spaghetti squash last night. And with just a vegetable marinara. So that was my vegetarian.
I love that dinner.
Evening.
Okay, so I have another. Can I offer you a tip of what I like to put on top of that? I like to put like a nut-based Parmesan. So I'll make like Brazil nuts, sea salt, and garlic in the food processor into like a fine little granules, and I'll just pour that on top. And it's like, people can't believe it. They're like, what am I eating? It's so good.
That's so simple.
And yeah, you could use...
It's almost like a pesto, but not pesto.
Right, yeah. You could use pistachios. I've used pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. I mean, so you could use a lot of different nuts, but Brazil... Something about the satiation level and the flavors just like really, really, is really delicious.
Hmm.
And you're getting that selenium.
Now I have to get my food processor out. Jen.
Oh, yeah. Mine is like a fixture and it's so ugly, but like I use it all the time because I'm constantly cutting vegetables. I mean, it just saves me so much time. Like I'm going to make daikon radish pancakes, like latkes, but made from daikon radish with some chickpea flour to kind of bind it. So I'm really excited about that. That'll be on the menu for this afternoon.
Are you a picture taker of your foods?
I am, yeah. I have some stuff on Insta. I do take pictures of my food a lot. Like I took a picture of the forage flowers that's on my Insta. And so Jennifer Helene, was it Jennifer Helene _? I think that's what it is. But I can get it to you. I can get it to you so you can check it out.
I'll put it in the description.
Please do.
I'm totally going to check it out. You know, I always, when social media first came out and like all these people are posting pictures of like their breakfast and their lunch and their food all the time. And I used to be like, what? Oh my God. Seriously, get lives, people. Like all you do is take pictures of your food all day. And now all I do is take pictures and videos of food.
It's fun. It's really fun. It took me a while to get into it because I was like, I just want to eat and make food. I don't want to like stop and like film it. But my daughter convinced me because she's like, Mom, what you're doing is magical. Like you have to, you have to. And so I've been doing some reels lately, which have been kind of, I had such resistance to it at first, but now I'm kind of getting the hang of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, recently, like within the last 3 months, I think.
It's
like,
me too.
It's like, yeah, right. Like, oh my God, reels. Now, like, I spend half of my day just like making sure that there's content for the next day or content for the next day.
But do you have any tips for reels? Because, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm always running out of time.
What do you mean?
Like 30 seconds is such a short amount of time. Mm. And it's like, I oftentimes I'm having to negotiate leaving out steps of certain recipes.
Okay. So what I do now is I have, because for Instagram specifically, So you'll make your long form video. Do your whole little explanatory long form video, right?
Okay.
And you can post that, make it like 3 minutes, put it on TikTok. Then take that 3 minute video or that 3 minutes of content and then break it down into, you know, a flashy 15 second little, you know, thing, right? Because you can make more. So that's your reel, right? So your 30 seconds, your 15 seconds, that's going to be your reel. And then you can also have a quicker, just voiceover explanatory, quicker, like 1 minute video or even longer, because you can put your long video onto Instagram too, just as a video. So now you have three different content forms of the same dish, right? Mm-hmm. But you just have your picture, right? A couple pictures that you post. You have your reel, which is like the 15, 30 second of that thing. And then you have your whole video that is the actual like recipe or how to make it, you know, a full on more descriptive. So you get, you get three pieces of content out of one dish, right?
Yeah. I guess I was confused about how to edit it as a reel with a long form video. I got to figure out how to do that.
Oh, you just got stuck. So I TikTok it first. I use TikTok, and I can take the music out and I can put voiceover back in or whatever, but right. I prefer to use TikTok to edit my reel. Oh, okay. And then also you have your little tag for your name on TikTok on there too.
Right. I totally haven't done anything with TikTok. I know it's such a huge missed opportunity. I need to get with the program. I'm so like over 40. Oh.
But then once you're in there, so you go into like manage the clips, and you go inside the clip and you can pull it, you know, shorten it, length it to the exact spot you want it. And then you go to the next one and you pull it, move it to exactly the way you want it. And if you're doing if you're doing it on TikTok, it's going to give you 3 minutes of time to do that, as opposed to the 1 minute that Instagram's giving you, or the 30 seconds that,
yeah,
you know, the 30 seconds, or Facebook gives you 30 seconds. I think Instagram gives you 60.
So interesting. So I guess TikTok is the key here. I gotta get comfortable inside of TikTok.
Yeah. And then if you want to make the faster one, you just put the videos all back in there and just do it again, let it sync the music for you and do its little syncy thing. Right, pick a song, do its little time sync to its 15 seconds or whatever, and then you go in and just move the clips to the exact little spot that you want, and put a trendy song on top of it, and make sure when you move that over to Instagram, you pick the same trendy song or pick an even more trending song, because Instagram actually has access to like all the like real music.
Okay, cool. Right? Love that. Nice. So, I'm really into music and dancing. I'm so into it.
It's a funnel nightmare. It's been a lot of time. It'll take over your life. Be careful.
But I can generate content all day, every day, and I would love it. It's fun.
Yeah, it is, and it's just putting it together. It's taking the time to like do it, and it is honestly easier if you do it on a computer. You know, if you know how to use an editing program and just do that, because then you can put that, you know, regular size video on YouTube as like the full video. You know, and then YouTube also has like its fun little shorts. So you can take the shorts that you made from TikTok and you put them back up on YouTube.
Right. Yeah, totally. But I also love to do cooking classes. So I started doing like some Zoom cooking classes, which I was really opposed to at first. But at the end of the day, like people just need skills, and things that you and I might see as like obvious, people do not register. Like they look in their fridge, they're like, oh, I've got nothing. And I'm like, what do you mean? You've got carrots, you've got onions, you've got, you know, seaweed. Like we could make a whole thing out of this.
There's
like,
plenty of stuff. You got some vinegar.
Right? Like there's my daughter, she'll do that. I'm like, come on. Like
I found half a bag of rice.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's so much. Even dehydrated mushrooms, like, you know, risotto, like you could do so much.
Making something. That's actually some of my funnest times to make dinner when there's just nothing in the house. And you're just like, I'm not going to the store.
Yeah.
Well, what am I going to make here? And my wife's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's going to be good. It's fine.
I mean, that was also one of the reasons I think I didn't go very far in MasterChef, but I was in MasterChef season 3. And it was always fun just to kind of just create like with whatever they gave you.
I was rooting for you.
I actually prayed to go home because you never know how long you're going to be there.
Right.
And so you're in lockdown pretty much. And I almost started smoking cigarettes just so I could go outside.
They take your phone too? Or?
Oh, yeah. No phone, no computer. And I had like a 4-year-old daughter at home.
Mm. Do you cook every day or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I cook every day.
No, I mean like on the show, they just work every day.
Yeah.
Until you're done and then you go home.
Yeah, no, we're on set every day or on location. And sometimes they change your hotel in the middle of the night or blindfold you and take you to some undisclosed location.
Oh, fun. That sounds terrible.
It was kind of exciting. I actually liked it. I was like, where is it? So it was really fun. I felt like my daughter really needed me.
No, that would be hard. Like,
it was really hard. I literally prayed. I got on my knees and I prayed. And that was the day actually I got let go, which was a gift. It was such a gift.
Did you throw it? Did you throw it?
No. But you know, I was not going to give them the drama they were looking for.
Mm.
Yeah. And you know, they wanted like, you know, real drama. And I just didn't.
That's why I love
the
kids version so much better. They're just all love each other. It's just like,
oh, so nice. Yeah.
Right? There's no like competition. They're just all like rooting for each other. And they're like, it's okay.
Gordon Ramsay used to always like get angry at me. He's like, it's not funny. And I'm like, yeah, it is actually. Like, people are taking this way too seriously. I get it. There's like a production staff of like over 300 people.
Right.
Like,
this costs millions of dollars to make.
Right. Like, but I thought the whole thing was hilarious. But you know, Josh, the runner up, who actually I thought should have won, just a virtuoso. The guy's like 7 feet tall.
I remember that.
I mean, his food was unbelievable. Like, every bite I ever took of his food was just like magic. And unfortunately, he took his life.
What?
He took his life.
I didn't know that.
He committed suicide. Yeah. And it's really, I think they're looking to destabilize you. They're looking for maybe unstable people. I don't know if this is true. But
I mean, that's reality TV. Saying, like, no time was anybody ever, like, picked to, like, send in a video that was just like, hello, I really enjoy cooking. I'm really good at it. Hope you pick me.
And I definitely wasn't going to give them that drama factor. And I didn't know. I had just come back from Switzerland. I lived for 10 years, you know, abroad. And I'd missed, like, 10 years of pop culture. And my friends dared me in La Jolla on a beach, these new girlfriends, like, you got to audition for MasterChef. I'm like, okay, sure. I was really into raw chocolate at the time and like adaptogenic herbs way before, like now they're hitting the market, right? That was 10 years ago. And so I did. And I kept going to the next round. And I'm like, oh my God, this is actually getting serious. So I was like, all right, well, I'll just go with it. And, you know, every day you could go home, right? And it's just like 1 week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks into it, I'm like, I got to get back to my kid. I can't do this.
I didn't even mean to be here. It was just a bit dare.
It's just a dare.
Gone like, terribly too far.
I took like my raw chocolate nuggets. It looked like turds. I'm like, you know, this is a total long shot, you know? But they were like, no, they thought it was interesting. And even when on that first audition day, Gordon was like, no, this is way too, we're not ready for this. Like, this is a whole other level of consciousness, you know, in food. And Joe was like, no, we should do this. Like, this is interesting. So I got on.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to watch. I mean, it's even hard for me to like go out and eat at restaurants and, you know, and promote things that I, you know, I'm going to probably go eat, I'm going to have to go eat some barbecue at some point. And even no matter what I do, I'm like, one, promoting eating of meat. I'm doing it to myself, but at the same time, I don't feel like it would be appropriate to go that far healthy. Do you know what I mean? As from like,
you mean like it would limit you?
Right. Yeah, right? Or so even like watching cooking shows now and just seeing like, oh no, you have to know how to like chop up the steak. You have to know how to, you know, devour this cow, right? And
I think we're all
without that, it's, are people going to watch it? I guess.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think everyone needs more ideas on how to eat more vegetables all the time.
Right. So we got to make it cool.
Like, okay, you pan sear, you braise, you broil, you boil, like, you know, like you steam, like you poach, like the techniques of eating, of preparing meat, you know, are different, right? You saute scallops differently than you do, than you roast a rack of pork. So like, I get it. Like there's all kinds of nuances inside the topic of animal products. Mm-hmm. But like you carve that out, maybe they can go somewhere else to get that info. Like everybody needs to, you know, be filling their plates with 70% or more of vegetables. So to me, there's way more opportunity to be like, oh, did you know you could do this with a carrot? Or did you know you could make latkes out of daikon radish and parsnips that are unbelievable?
I've been really loving all the cauliflower stuff lately. Like,
oh my gosh, cauliflower steaks.
Cauliflower, everything.
I know. I love it. Yeah. I've been doing that for my daughter. It's a great transition food for meat eaters. It's very satisfying.
Well, that and like just using it for flour as well. And just mm-hmm. all the like fun little cups that like people are making online. Like you see these?
Yeah.
Right, tons of just different ways to like mess with the cauliflower and turn it into these really ooey gooey looking like treats.
So good,
right? Like junk food, but good for you, junk food.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a kick ass mac and cheese with chickpea pasta and mostly cauliflower and some vegan cheese. You don't even need that much vegan cheese to make it really, really creamy.
Do you have a favorite vegan cheese?
I haven't tried them all.
But do you have one that you recommend that's just like that for somebody who eats cheese and you're trying to get them to...
I mean, I think you pronounce it Mykonos.
Mykonos?
I think it's M-I-K, Mykonos or Mykonos. She actually started her company here in this area and she's gone nationwide. Her vegan butter is incredible. I mean, really incredible. She has a cultured vegan butter, an oat butter, and then a regular salted vegan butter. And they're all three delicious, but the salted vegan is like tip top. It used to be at Trader Joe's nationwide. They've just recently discontinued it and have their own brand now because it was selling out every time. It's just incredible. So if you can find it, it's great. Her whole line of cheese is good. I mean, she's done a great job.
We're not going wrong.
No, it's not. So her smokehouse cheddar is unbelievable. When I'm cooking with
vegan smokehouse cheddar?
Yeah. When I'm cooking with it, people are like, where's the bacon? I'm like, there's no bacon. This is cheddar cheese. I mean, it's like the flavor. It's really great on like arugula salads. Fantastic as like a little seasoning for pizza. Her cheddar, though, doesn't have the tang it needs, so you have to kind of work with it with the acid balance. But her cheddar has got a great texture. The mozzarella is really good.
Just a little Italian dressing.
The mozzarella like it melts really well, but you can't like grate it that well.
Because it just crumbles
unless it's frozen. You know, like the texture as soon as it gets room temperature, it's just like kind of starting to get really soft. You know,
just goes Gumby.
It does. Even more than that. It starts to melt. A jalapeno cheddar that's good.
Have you ever tried the purple kale as bacon? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't tried that. With the dehydrator or what?
No, it's like purple kelp. And you just fry it in a pan, right? And it crisps up thinner than bacon, right? So kind of like a kale chip kind of.
Oh, I gotta try that.
Consistency, but it tastes just like bacon. Not just like
bacon. I'm not that great at frying. I'm really not, but I'll try it.
I think you probably do it in the oven too. And you just put it in the oven.
Okay, I can bake. I can bake. So I really like her brand. There's a really fancy one that I would like to try because I don't like to eat a lot of coconut oil or cashews or pea protein. And those are kind of the main ingredients. The Trader Joe's mozzarella is pretty good. It's not healthy. It's not organic. But it melts well and the texture is good. They have a cashew, not the almond or the soy, but the cashew is pretty good. But it's just not that healthy.
I mean, because the things that are really good usually aren't good for us.
I don't want to believe it. I'm not the cancel delete. I'm not believing it. There's a new cheese company, plant-based cheese company called Shri Moo.
Shri Moo.
Yeah, like holy cow. S-R-I-M-U. And Julie Piatt's brand, and she has a almond-based buffalo mozzarella in a crystal sea salt brine. And I haven't tried it, but I'm really interested in that cheese. I can only get it if I order the sampler, which is like $150. And I'm like, I don't know if I want $150 worth of cashew cheese just to get my buffalo mozzarella, you know? But I'm really eager. I see some of her cheeses, but they're like 30. I think their price point starts at 33 for one little piece.
Of cheese. But it's that,
It's like, blessed on the full moon,
And the things that are good for you are just out of the price points.
No, I don't know if that's true, but and then you can make your own. Like, I make a really great pumpkin seed cheddar. You can make a really delicious like macadamia nut chèvre. I make really delicious cream sauces and like nut cheese, like spreadable. They're just off the hook with pine nuts and hemp seeds and lemon juice. Like, just, you can make so many just in your kitchen.
So creative. And I'm gonna go follow you, and you're gonna show me how.
Okay, yeah, totally. Awesome. Yeah, you've inspired me. Now it's gonna, usually people are like, whoa, I just need to stop eating flour and sugar. So sometimes when I go like deep into my unusual things with Irish moss or whatever, people are like, that's next level. But why not? That's just what I do. I might as well showcase it.
No, you're an artist, my dear. You're an artist. Bravo.
Thank you.
All right. You wanna give any shout outs?
Well, if you want to get some new ideas, there's a free 7-day lifestyle plan on my website, www.jennifer-helene.com. And literally just put your name and email, and I'll send you a shopping list, the 7-day lifestyle plan, just to give you some new ideas for some delicious plant-based recipes, and then some suggestions on how to really optimize your lifestyle with the food, the fitness, and the mindset that are really the magical trinity to reset your health and achieve vitality.
Bravo, darling. Bravo.
Thank you.
I'm subscribing right now.
Right on.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. This has been a blast.
Thank you.
And I have learned so much. Ladies and gentlemen, go follow Jennifer Helene. She is an amazing, amazing culinary magician. And she lives on a fairy farm. So bravo to her.
Thank you.
Eat some fresh vegetables for me. And especially some fresh fruit, because I want to know how those mangoes were. Awesome, darling. You have a wonderful rest of your day and enjoy your lunch.
Thank you. Be well.
Thank you. Cheers. Go watch my TV show. Awesome, darling.
Where do I find your TV show?
It's
Amazon,
on,
you said?
It's on Amazon and free on Fox's Tubi TV, which is...
What's it called?
Beyond the Check.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Worker Hunter Edition. Season one was a little faster and more BuzzFeedy. Season two is more laid back and BBC. And season three is going to be a combo of Texas both.
That's exciting. Good for you.
Thank you. Good for you. I want to go walk in your garden. That's literally... I'm going to go take...
Come visit.
I'm going to go walk my dogs and try to avoid the paper smell.
Oh, to be continued. I have some ideas I want to bounce off of you.
Yeah, give me a shout anytime.
Okay.
Awesome. Cheers, darling. Have a lovely day. All right, bye.